For scripture reading tonight, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading there with verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Tonight we're going to pick back up on the thought of the spiritual Christian life by discussing one of the most important character traits that a truly spiritual Christian has to work hard to develop. And something that is difficult to master, really it's not something we master, it's something we work on, and that is the trait of humility. The Bible says to be clothed with humility. Now, I've written a book on it that if you all had read, I wouldn't have to preach on it this evening. It's entitled Humility and How I Attained It, and if you'd like to buy it after the service. It's also, it has another book with it called The 10 Most Influential People in America and How I Influenced the Other 9. Now, if someone writes a book on humility, how I attained it, don't read it. They haven't attained it. Humility is something that we work upon. The Bible says be clothed with humility. And that does not mean that you have to wear humble clothes. You want to wear nice clothes and you can afford it. You want to wear name brand clothes. I wear name brand clothes. George and Puritan are my favorites. But it's not referring to wearing humble clothes, but rather clothing our spirits, clothing our souls with humility. In the same way that we get up in the morning and clothe our bodies with modesty, by the way, Christians ought to dress themselves in modest apparel, but we dress our bodies with modesty, we're to dress our souls with humility. Now, humility is not as simple a concept as it appears on the surface. If I were to ask 10 people to define humility, I might get 5 or 6 different answers. Some think of humility as a weakness. They think that meekness is weakness. Well, if you think being meek is weak, try being meek for a week. You'll find that it's not so easy. And so humility is not weakness, and meekness is not weakness. Humility is not bowing and scraping. Humility is not dwelling in mediocrity, never excelling in anything. Some think humility is putting on an air of deference. Some think humility is never imposing or taking charge or being the leader. You'll find that great leaders in business, politics, military, and yes, even in churches, are often charged with pride or narcissism because of the strength of their personality and the strength of their leadership. But you take away that strength and all of a sudden they're not leaders anymore. By the way, when it comes to a president, I don't want the wimpiest guy in the room. I want someone to be like Teddy Roosevelt and be the bull moose in the room. I want someone that's going to take charge and get things done. And if he's not considered humble, I don't care as long as he gets things done. I want a leader. But some think the humility is never taking charge and never being the leader. Some think the humility is constantly putting oneself down with disparaging comments. I used to have a friend years ago that he was always talking down about himself. Always, I'm this, I'm that. And he never realized that he was talking about himself all the time. That's not humility. And he was also insulting a child of God. You don't have to go through life constantly insulting yourself, putting yourself down so that others will think that you're spiritual. Some only see pride as arrogance or bragging or boasting. But pride can be far more subtle. Pride can also be seen in rebellion or secret rebellion or ingratitude, insubordination, stubbornness, gossip, a critical spirit. Those are all evidences of pride as well. Humility is not weakness. It's not being passive. It's not self-loathing. It's not cowardice. It's not timidity. It's not introversion. It's not talking down about yourself. True humility is not being a doormat for people to walk on. does not mean that you cannot live without dignity or with a certain self-respect and expect others to treat you with that respect. Mrs. Raspberry is a humble person, but she is a lady. You don't treat her like she's not a lady. She doesn't have to put up with that. You don't have to go through life letting everyone treat you like dirt. You can have a certain level of respect for yourself and actually expect others to treat you with that respect. I'm a pastor. I expect people to respect my office because my office is given by God and it represents this good church. So I'm not going to let folks disrespect my office. Paul said, I magnify my office. So humility is not being a doormat. Humility is not acting like a dog who's been kicked around and goes around with his tail between his legs. I don't see John the Baptist or Elijah walking around like kicked dogs. I see men, strong men, godly men, faithful men, courageous men, but also humble men. Moses was no doubt the greatest leader of the Old Testament, perhaps the greatest leader other than Jesus Christ ever lived. And yet the Bible says he was the meekest man on earth. But that's not what his critics said. Korah and that bunch, they all said, who do you think you are? You made yourself a prince over us. You've exalted yourself. They all accused him of being narcissistic and being selfish and glorifying himself. But God is the one who said, oh no, Moses is the meekest man on earth. A man can be a great athlete and still have humility. A man can be a great businessman and still have humility. A man or a woman, I'm just using generic, a man can be excellent at his work and still have humility. A man can be confident and capable and still have humility. A man can be a great husband and a great father and still have humility. A lady can be a great wife and a great mother and still have humility. A man can be greatly used of God and still have humility. A man can be a strong and dynamic leader and still have humility. You know, a preacher can preach with fire coming off the pulpit and still have humility. I heard a wise man say recently that all successful people deal with pride. I wrote down to myself, and so do the rest of us. All of us deal with the pride of life. There are three things wrong with us we all deal with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every one of us has to deal with that. Your flesh has lust, your eyes have lust, your pride, your ego has lust, and they all have to be dealt with. The fact is that some become successful when they're humble, and once they become successful, pride causes them to stop being successful. While others never become successful because of their pride. Now, I know people that are very successful in life, and yeah, they do brag a little bit, and they do seem a little overconfident sometimes, but at least they have a reason to. But I know others that have never succeeded at anything, and they're still as proud as a banny rooster strutting around. It's like, if some folks did not have that pride, they might actually listen to advice. They might actually follow good examples. They might actually do the right things that cause people to become successful in life. But it's that pride that keeps them from even achieving success in life. Humility is hard to judge, which is why we should be far more concerned about judging our own humility than trying to judge that of others. It's really easy to say, proud, 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 proud. It's awful hard to say, proud, 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 proud. Now verse 5 lays it out for us, and many Christians don't like the words of this verse. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves. A lot of folks don't like the word submit. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Who's the elder? Verse 1 says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and describes the work of the pastor. So God says, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject. There's another word we don't like. Submit, subject, one to another. And be clothed with humility. God wants us to be subject to authority, to submit ourselves. And it goes on to say that God resists the proud. Now let me ask you, in the local church, aren't things supposed to be done decently and in order? Who is responsible for that? That doesn't just happen. Not with humanity the way it is. Not with our human nature. Unless someone makes things go decently and in order, it's chaos. Everyone does what they think they ought to do. Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. How is there going to be decency and order inside the church unless the pastor sets some rules and expects folks and tries to make the church services and things go properly and says this is how we ought to do things. Now, is it so hard if the pastor says we ought to do it this way, need you here at this time, need to do it this way? Is it so hard for us to just submit and say, I'm going to do that, instead of, I don't care, I've been here a long time, do whatever I want to? Before long, everything spins out of order. And it's because we do not submit. We don't subject ourselves. And, hey, listen, I want to be clothed with humility because the Bible says God resists the proud. I have enough trouble in my life without God resisting me too. Amen. And the reason why some... Now, let me say this. Everyone faces failure at some point in life. Some do fail. I've failed at things. You have failed at things. The difference between those who go on to succeed and those who end in failure is some people face failure or they go through failure and they humble themselves. They took a look in the mirror. What could I have done better? What do I need to improve on? Do I need to get some advice? How can I succeed? And because they humble themselves, they turn that into a stepping stone to greater success in their life. Other people, they go into failure, or they things don't work out, and they become bitter. They blame everybody. If you had supported me more, if you'd been there, if you had done this, then I would have been a success. And instead of being humbled by that, they become arrogant and defensive and angry and bitter, and instead of it turning into a stepping stone to greater things in their life, it's a major step back for them. And much of the time, they never, ever go on to enjoy success, and it's because of pride. It's not easy to look in the mirror. Amen. It's easy for me to see what's wrong with you. It's not easy to look in the mirror. I've been pastoring here for 16 years. Why am I still here instead of going on to my third church by now? Because there have been times when I failed or faced failure, I had to look in the mirror and say, James Raspberry, you need to improve on this or do this better or change this or do that in yourself so that you can continue on doing what God wants you to do. We've got to learn to humble ourselves before God so that God can bless us and lift us up instead of resisting us. Now, God says to be clothed with humility. The Lord Jesus is, of course, our great example, as in every good quality. We find in His life an example of perfect humility. In Philippians 2:8, when it says, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No one ever exemplified humility like the only perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet one scene stands out above all the rest, in which the Lord girded Himself with humility. And that's in John 13, when the Bible says He laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself and poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Now, that was the job of the servant. But Jesus had sat there through that entire dinner and no one had washed anyone's feet. And not one of the men there said, I'll take on that responsibility. I don't have to be told. I'll get a basin and I'll wash Jesus' feet. Not one person said, I'll wash Jesus' feet. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, laid aside His coat and put a towel over Himself and began to wash their feet. What humility. What humility. Do we have that kind of attitude? Are we clothed with humility like that, that we're willing to stoop down and serve and do the dirty work? That's what God would like to see in us. Now, tonight I want you to consider three ways in which we need to be clothed with humility. Number one, we must be humble before God. Humble before God. You know what will send a man to hell faster than anything? Pride. Pride. Matthew 18, Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Little children are humble. That's why it's easier for little children to get saved. Because they're humble, they'll listen. Because they listen, they get saved. Adults don't listen because they're not humble. I was listening to a man recently, gave his testimony. He's a businessman. He started out with nothing and built up two businesses. His millions of dollars have gone through his hands. He's about 40 years old. Started with nothing, built up. Now he owns two businesses, a real estate business and a construction business. Millions of dollars has gone through his hands. And he was witnessed to by a Christian for 14 years. But he wouldn't get saved. When I talked to him, he'd been saved 2 weeks. And he said, the one thing that kept me from getting saved all that time was my pride. That I had to humble myself, a self-made man, a millionaire, owner of two businesses, a leader of men, that I had to humble myself before God. But that pride would have sent him to hell. Because pride exalts itself against God. Well, you might stand tall among men, but you better get on your knees before God. Humble yourself before God. Boy, it's amazing that God can save any hardened old sinner, but God cannot save any man that is too proud to humble himself before God with a childlike faith. Pride keeps church members on their way to hell. Church members that aren't saved. So prideful. What will people think? I have this position, or I've been in church all my life. What will people think? And it's that kind of pride that'll send you to hell if you've not been born again. That kind of pride will send a person to hell. Pride makes us self-righteous. Well, I'm a good person. I have all these good qualities. I do this and I don't do that. And so we become like little Baptist Pharisees. We list off our resume before God. But we're not saved. We haven't been born again because we haven't humbled ourselves before God and received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Pride hinders the Christian more than anything else in his life. Pride keeps the Christian from getting right. I read in a book this week that we're not ashamed to sin, but we're ashamed to repent. Think about that. We're not ashamed to sin, and people know our sin, but we're ashamed to go back to God or to apologize or to confess our sin. We weren't ashamed to commit the sin, but we're ashamed to get right with God about the sin. Well, that pride will keep you from growing in grace. That pride will keep you from enjoying God's blessings. Pride. Something we need to humble ourselves out of. We're not thankful because of pride. We steal the glory because of pride. We become stubborn with God because of pride. We desire preeminence because of pride. We make everything about us because of pride. We think the sun rises and sets on us because of pride. We think that we earned that. We deserve that. We built that. We did that. And we give God no credit for anything that He's done in our life. Pride makes us bitter because we think God should treat us better. Pride makes us bitter because we think that should never happen to me. Not me. And so we become bitter. It's because of pride. So we need to be clothed with humility before the Lord. Acknowledge to Him that without Him you can do nothing. When you serve God and God blesses it, give Him the credit. When you pray and God answers, don't forget to say thank you. When God blesses you, give Him the glory. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Don't forget, listen, be clothed with humility. No matter what you do for God, you serve a great King. It's a great privilege to serve Him. Humble yourself before Him. The great King David, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Why? Because he was humble. He had a childlike faith. He'd rather be a doorkeeper and usher in God's house than to be the king. That kind of humility God can bless. Let me point out secondly, we need to be humble with each other. We need to be humble with each other. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. I know that's an old-fashioned value, but younger folks ought to respect older folks. Amen. We ought to teach our kids to be respectful to their elders. And all of us ought to respect our elders. The Bible says we're to rise up before the gray head, to show respect. Be clothed with humility. And treat them as a father, the Bible says. And then, yea, he said, all of you. Alright? I think that includes everyone in the room, correct? Yea, all of you be subject one to another. All of us need to be clothed with humility. Now, churches don't split because they're just too humble. Am I right? Churches don't split because they're just an excess of humility. Churches don't split because they're just too meek. People don't leave good churches because they're too humble. It's when we stop wearing the clothing of humility and start wearing little crowns in the church that trouble comes into the church. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. When we have little squabbles and friction and fractions and trouble inside the church, it usually goes back to someone who has some pride. Pride causes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride is why we get angry and stay angry. Pride is why we say hurtful things. Pride is why we get offended. Pride is why we nurse grudges. Pride is why we get jealous. Pride is why we envy others' successes, promotions, or recognitions. Pride is why we often feel unappreciated or unrecognized. Pride is why we feel like we deserve more than someone else. Those sorts of things cause trouble inside of churches. Amen. All of you be subject one to another. When we're clothed with humility, we'll see the following. Number one, we'll learn to give a soft answer. It's not easy to give a soft answer. Something that's hard for some of us to do. But we don't fly off the handle when we have an excess of humility. We don't take everything personally and get defensive. We don't think evil of others in our hearts. We don't speak evil with our mouths. We give others the benefit of the doubt. I want you to go with me to Ecclesiastes 7. These are verses that I read this week in my daily devotions. I want you to see this little bit of wisdom from Solomon. Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken. In other words, don't listen to everything that's said. Don't take everything seriously. Take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. I can't believe they said that about me. Have you ever said anything about anybody else? No, not me. Don't listen to everything. All right, so that servant had a bad day. They got mad and they said something they shouldn't have said. Have you ever had a bad day and got mad and said something you shouldn't have said? Well, you get mad at me when I'm preaching. If you stood up here as much as I do, I'd get mad at you too. I'm the kind of person, I could go the rest of my life as a hermit on a mountain and not say another word. But I stand up here and preach 3 or 4 times a week, and sometimes I say things that later on I say, I shouldn't have said that. And sometimes when I go hear preachers and they say something, I think to myself, that kind of makes me mad. I think he shouldn't say that. And I thought, I bet later on he may regret it. I bet a year from now he wouldn't say that. See, that's giving people the benefit of the doubt. Clothed with humility. Be a lot easier to get along with. Put the needs of others ahead of ourselves. Won't be as judgmental. Serve with more sincerity. Just be generally nicer people. I've said this before, that Brother Chandler reminds me of the Holy Spirit more than any person I've ever known. You know, one thing I love about Brother Chandler, he's very humble. Now, that means he's wimpy. He's strong. Strong in his convictions, too. I still remember when he hung up on someone, but I won't bring that up again. But everyone likes to be around Brother Chandler just because he's clothed with humility. And there's many others in the room as well. But humility is something we can put on every day, and it would be a wonderful thing to constantly see that in the church. And I will say that I believe that Lighthouse Baptist Church has a great deal of humility and a genuine servant's heart among so many of our membership, perhaps among all of our membership. And so thank God for that. But let's not get boastful about it. That kind of ruins it, doesn't it? We're a humble church! Yay! No, we've got to watch out for pride, because it's still in us. Wouldn't it be something in our homes if we had humility? If brothers and sisters treated each other with humility? If husbands and wives treated each other with humility? Now, I'm not a great husband. I think I'm a better husband than I used to be. You're supposed to grow better as you get older. But I will say this. Mrs. Raspberry is my number one counselor and always has been. And for a husband to say, I'm the man in my house, don't tell me anything. Son, you need to wake up. You two are one. Why'd you marry her for? To cook and clean? I married my wife because I loved her and I respect her. And for a man to say, I'm the man in my house. If you have to tell everyone you're the man in your house, you got to persuade them. You're probably missing something. Why, you know, the Bible says submitting to the husband and wife says submitting yourselves one to another. It means the husband ought to submit to his wife sometimes. Doesn't always have to have his way. Like Cro-Magnon man at home. You know, it's all right to humble yourself and it's all right to make sure that you listen and give your wife credit. I've never made any major purchases that she didn't agree with. I've never made any major decision that would affect our family that she didn't agree with. Why would I want to live with that and her nagging at me the rest of my life? I mean, that's just good sound advice. Humble yourself. And wives ought to be humble with their husbands. That's not something we see a lot of these days, but the Bible does say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And children, humble before their parents instead of stiff-necked and rebellious and stubborn and pushing back all the time. How about humble children submitting to their parents? How about being humble on your job and being submissive to your supervisor instead of always backbiting and talking back and showing stubbornness and rebellion? Why not? You know, you might get ahead on your job more if you had humility along with hard work and doing the job right. So we need to be humble with each other. And then a third thought is we need to be humble when we face the devil. Verses 8 and 9, we didn't read this earlier, but it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now right after God says we're to humble ourselves before God, He then tells us to be sober and be vigilant against the devil. Now, I'm not saying to humble yourself before the devil. I'm saying you ought to be humble when it comes to the subject of facing the devil. Well, I've seen all kinds of little cute little bumper stickers the Christian is kind of boasting, I'm going to go fight the devil, I'm going to take on the devil, I'm going to whip the devil, you know, and it's boasting and bragging, but that's not how you ought to face spiritual warfare. The Bible teaches that the angels are greater than us in might, in power, in intelligence. They're smarter than us. They're stronger than us. They're not bound by material weaknesses like we are. And the strongest human being is weaker than the weakest devil. And Satan is the strongest of the devils. The only way you and I can face Satan is in the power of the Lord. If we go facing the devil in the power of our strength, he will devour us. If we go facing the devil in our minds, our intellect, so I can handle this, he's going to whoop us. And when Christians get prideful, I can handle that temptation. I can look at that. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect me to get involved in this. I can drink some of that. I'll drink in moderation. I'll get involved in these things in my life. I can handle it. I'm strong. They're the ones who almost always end up destroyed by Satan. Preachers get proud, they end up in sin. Christians get proud, they end up in sin. Husbands get proud, they end up in sin. Teenagers get proud, they end up in sin. Because, hey, one reason why the Bible lists among the qualifications of the pastor is he's not to be a novice, newly planted, because lest being filled with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Satan uses pride against us to our own destruction. We must not go into to face spiritual temptations or trials or difficulties or battles. We must make sure we're in the whole armor of God and in His power and His strength, humbled under God's mighty hand, that we might have the power to resist temptation and to get the victory, because without Him we can do nothing but fail. Well, tomorrow I don't need God tomorrow. I can make it on my own. I don't have anything serious planned. It's not a good attitude to have. It's like a soldier getting up in Afghanistan. Well, what could happen today? I think I'll just go outside the boundaries. I think I'll just be casual as I'm going down the road. What could happen today? Nothing happened yesterday. Next thing you know, they're driving over in an IED or they're getting shot by a sniper. We must be diligent and humble or Satan can devour us. Staying on our knees is a great way to keep the devil from getting the victory in our lives. Clothed with humility. I guess I could finish this sermon by asking the question, do we want to be like Jesus? Because Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself. Humility is not something we master. You don't say, well, that's a great sermon. Today, tomorrow I am humble. I never have to work on it again. Nope. It's a daily. You got to get dressed tomorrow, don't you? I hope so. You're going to get dressed in the morning? Put on humility in the morning. You must have it.